in Randolph County and from us around. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ransparta means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know.
From Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. It is 9:27. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. I hope you're having a good Friday. Talking today with Senator Paul Schimpf. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Good morning to you. Good morning to all the listeners, and a belated Independence Day. Happy Independence Day. That was just last weekend, so just want to wish everybody, hope everybody had a really great celebration. I was able to stay local, which is nice, but it was fun. I took my boys down to Fort Deschartres, and we recorded our Independence Day message down there, because this was, we haven't been able to really do anything to celebrate it yet because of the pandemic restrictions, but this year, Fort Deschartres turns 300.
Oh, wow.
So the rendezvous was supposed to, was going to be epic. That's pushed back until September now. Hopefully we do get to have that celebration, but I wanted my boys to go down there. And one of the things that I talked about with them, in that message was, we don't know what America is going to look like when it turns 300. America turned 244 this year. I'm in all likelihood, I'm not going to be around to see America turn 300. My boys probably will be. They're going to, they're going to look different than how they look today, but they'll still be the same people, because it's, our character that defines us, not our appearances. And the same can be said for America. America is changing. I mean, who knows, whether, we're going to still, when we turn 300, whether kids will still get on the school bus and head off, for their classes, or whether everything's going to be done online in the home. We don't know, but we have no idea what TV shows are going to be popular. I joke that maybe by the time America turns 300, maybe leopard geckos will supplant cats as like the second most popular family pet. But yes, I'm a dog person, not a cat person.
talking about TV though, I remember, because I was in grade school during the bicentennial.
I remember that too, yes.
And and looking at TV programs from back in that era and stuff, it's like, I thought it looked pretty good back then, but I look at it now thinking, boy, that has really changed a lot in just that few years.
We don't know exactly what our country is going to look like, but that's okay, because America is, we're not a government and an economy. What America is, it's an idea and it's an attitude. The idea is that, we're all free, equal, and given the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the idea that we strive for. And then the attitude really is that we're going to be willing to work together despite any political disagreements we may have. We're going to be willing to work together to pursue those ideas, to try to create the more perfect union that we, that we talk about in the Constitution. So, as long as we have that idea and we have that attitude, America is going to still be America, regardless of how it looks like. And I think that's something that is important to remember as we celebrate our independence.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break here, and we will come back and talk some more with Senator Paul Schimpf here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. 9:35 here this morning, talking with Senator Paul Schimpf. And Now, obviously, we'll talk a little bit about some of the things going on with COVID, but there's other things in the news as well. The graduated tax proposal.
Yes, that's something that just last week there was a coalition that came out against the proposed graduated tax. I guess the first thing I ought to do is explain what that is. You're hearing different names for this. You're gonna see a constitutional amendment on your ballot in November. That really it basically says, you know, shall the provision of the Illinois Constitution that says that we have to use, the same tax rate for everybody, mm-hmm. That we treat everybody fairly. Everybody, pays the same rate. So if you make more money, you pay more taxes. If you make less money, you pay less taxes because everybody is being treated the same and paying the same rate. There's a constitutional amendment that says that should be removed from the Illinois Constitution. And that proposal to remove it and allow for differing tax rates for different individuals is called either a graduated tax, a progressive tax, or a fair tax. If you hear any of those three names, they're all mm-hmm. talking about the same thing. The idea that the General Assembly is going to be able to go in and set different tax rates for different income levels is Governor Pritzker's proposal. And he has put in, I think last week he donated $50 million with an M of his own money, into the group that is pushing to make this change. Now, there are a number of groups that are working against this, and they came out opposing it last week. You had the Illinois Farm Bureau is opposed to this graduated tax proposal, so they're urging a no vote. You have the Illinois Chamber of Commerce is urging a no vote as well. You have the National Federation of Independent Businesses. They are urging a no vote. So I'm gonna be voting no. I voted no against this when it went through the General Assembly. I just think that the biggest reason not to do this is I think there is just no reason to trust Illinois politicians with any more power. we shouldn't make it easier for them to raise our taxes or try to target specific groups. This is probably the state treasurer, Mr. Ferrix had said that, that this was going to be, that this graduated tax would allow us to eventually tax retirement income and that we needed to do that. So that's really, that's what the goal is. It's going to be, that we're going to have higher taxes in Illinois. Now the governor has said, that right now, with what he is proposing right now, he is saying that most people in Illinois will not see their taxes go up. But it's important to note that what his proposal is for is he says that he's going to raise just a little bit over $2 billion with his graduated tax proposal. Well, our budget this year that the Democrats passed in the General Assembly was out of balance by $6 billion. We have a bill backlog that runs between usually like $5 and $8 billion, depending on how fast the money is coming in. Mm-hmm. We have our pension system is underfunded to the tune of $140 billion. So I just added up, I think there's another $40 billion worth of healthcare that we're underfunded by. But if you add it up, we're probably looking at the state is probably close to $200 billion in the hole, and Governor Pritzker's proposal, which he says is not going to raise anybody's taxes, is for only about $2 billion. If you believe that your taxes are not going to go up, I've got some land that I'd like to sell you.
Or a bridge somewhere.
Or a bridge. But, that's something that we're going to be seeing a lot of political spending on. So when you hear those commercials where people saying either vote yes or vote no on the graduated, fair, or progressive tax, that's what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. This proposal to allow Illinois politicians to basically set tax rates at whatever they want instead of, you know, treating everybody the same. And this is something that, you know, I think is a bad idea, because Illinois has a spending problem. Illinois doesn't have a revenue problem. The problem is, you know, we spend money faster than it comes in. You know, this year we didn't even have a balanced budget. You know, our revenue was way down. But two years ago in FY20, we had record revenue coming in, and that would have been the time for us to address some of these long-term financial challenges that we have. But instead of keeping spending down and trying to pay, you know, make some payments into our pension system, we increased spending across the board by significant amounts. Mm-hmm. We spent every last dime that was coming in, you know, and that's not how responsible government should run.
You know, I mean, as far as I've heard him say, you know, that this will help, you know, the lower income people in the state. But then he proposed a gas tax that is actually hitting those same people as well.
Well, the gas tax, which I voted no on the gas tax, you know, when they voted to raise that gas tax. But that gas tax now goes up automatically. You know, we have the system we have in Illinois is your taxes go up on autopilot. So not only does our spending seem to just automatically increase, but our taxes now automatically increase every year as well. Your gas tax automatically increases. So you're going to be thinking, oh, well, gas used to only be 50 cents a gallon, you know, cheaper in Missouri. You know, over the coming years, we're going to see it become more and more expense, yeah, the difference between Missouri and Illinois gas prices are going to be more and more stark, and that really hurts a lot of our retailers, you know, our small gas station owners that are close to the Mississippi River. Why would you stop in Illinois and buy gas if you can just, you know, 5 minutes, you know, across the river, you know, and that's mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you see across the river from Chester, across the river from Columbia. That's where a lot of people buy their gas.
And the proposal was that it's going to go to for Illinois roads, which is fine, but other states which have much lower gas taxes also have fine roads.
Well, what's, you know, we needed to spend some money on our infrastructure, but the, you know, and this is kind of one of my core beliefs that I've always had as a senator. One of the promises that I made to people, I said, I will not vote to raise your taxes unless there is spending cuts to go along with it. And I just that's one of my core beliefs, is I think you have no right to ask people for a tax increase, or no right to impose a tax increase on people unless you have tried to cut spending. And, you know, I agree that we needed to spend money on our road infrastructure, but I felt like we should have at least tried to pay for some of that by spending reductions. And there was no effort to reduce spending at all. You know, none. We keep increasing spending and increasing our taxes, and that's not something I'm willing to go along with.
Right. Something else you mentioned is J-Card.
Well, so we're not, the General Assembly is not scheduled to go back into session until the fall veto session, which is not until after the November election. Now, I really wish that the governor or somebody would call a special session. I wish they had done that back in June, because we really, you know, we as a state government, we needed to provide some help to our local superintendents and school boards. The school reopening that we've got coming up in the fall is a tremendous undertaking. It's very complex and challenging in light of what's going on with the pandemic. I really think that the legislature should have been called back in, not to micromanage our local school boards, but to give them help in terms of, they need help with liability issues. They need help, I think, with a state policy as far as what do you do about students who refuse to come in out of safety concerns, or teachers that refuse to teach out of safety concerns. So I think it would have been very helpful to have a state policy on that. I think we also needed to give our local school districts some type of liability protection or a hold harmless, because, you know, the first time a trial lawyer gets a hold of some, you know, a family that had a student catch COVID at, you know, at the schools, you know, that could be very problematic for our school districts. You also have, you have challenges where insurance liability carriers are saying, hey, you can't reopen unless you do, you know, X, Y, and Z. So we need to be able to give our local educators some help, some top cover for dealing with their insurance carriers as well. So I think it would have been, I think we should have done something at the General Assembly level to try to help our local education professionals. I made that recommendation in my caucus, the Senate Republican caucus, that, you know, that there was a leadership void on the education issue. We needed to do something. You know, I was making that recommendation back at the beginning of June. Unfortunately, you know, it's now, we're into July. The time, you know, it's really only a little bit over a month until schools are scheduled to reopen. True. So our school boards and our superintendents are in a difficult position. We need to communicate with them. We need to try to support them, but they haven't gotten really any significant help from the Illinois state government. You know, it was kind of funny what the guidance they got. The Illinois State Board of Education put guidance out on June 23rd, and it really, the guidance that was put out didn't give our local schools the help they needed. What it did was it micromanaged them. It was detailed guidance about how kids should wash their hands. Well, I don't think our principals need to be told how kids should wash their hands. It also mandated that all children ages 2 and up have to wear a mask, which that's ridiculous. You're not going to keep a mask on a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the State Board of Education put something out that was, I think it hurt more than it helped. And, you know, it's the reopening of our schools is a challenging situation. I would certainly hope that, you know, I'd be supportive of a special session to try to give our local educators the support they need. And that's also something that we're going to touch on at JCAR. JCAR is the Joint Committee for Administrative Rules, you know, and that's something we can talk about a little bit later. It takes a while to explain how JCAR works.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's take a break here and we'll come back and talk some more with Senator Paul Shimpf here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. Talking today with Senator Paul Shimpf here on The People Speak, and talking about the schools reopening and that, and mentioned JCAR. And
yeah, I had mentioned JCAR, and I didn't want to try to explain it because I knew you had a commercial break coming up, but I think I've got a little bit of time just to talk about what JCAR is. When we hear that a law has been passed by the General Assembly, or a bill has been passed by the General Assembly and then signed into law by the governor, that's really only half the process, because what we have to live with are the regulations that the Illinois state agencies put out, whether it's the Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Ag, the Illinois State Police. They put out regulations, and that really is kind of what implements the laws, and it's the regulations that we have to live under. You know, so like when they passed the law for the creating the FOID card, the FOID in Illinois, that law didn't say, you know, how much it was going to be to you know, how much a FOID was going to cost.
Right.
It was the state agency that put that law, you know, put that regulation in place. So the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules, which I sit on, is the committee that reviews these regulations that the Illinois state agencies draft. We review those regulations to make sure that they are complying with statutory intent. So that committee is made up of 6 Republicans and 6 Democrats. So you have three legislators from each caucus, three House Democrats, 3 House Republicans, 3 Senate Democrats, and 3 Senate Republicans. And if what the committee can do is, the committee isn't a policy committee. We're not passing laws, but mm-hmm. we're just reviewing this administrative code, this administrative regulation. And if we think that something does not comply with statutory intent, or if it's just completely contrary to the statute, we can set that regulation aside. But it takes a supermajority of the committee to do that. It takes 8 out of 12 votes. So the last time that JCAR was had a lot of media attention on it was when one of the administrative agencies in Illinois, the Department of Public Health, had tried to criminalize violations of Governor Pritzker's executive orders. And the fact that they were trying to set criminal penalties through administrative rule rather than the legislature passing a law and setting, you know, setting the penalties in law, that was a complete departure from anything that had ever been done before. And the committee was going to have the votes to basically set this rule aside, to suspend it. And because the Pritzker administration realized that they were going to lose the vote, they wound up withdrawing their rule themselves. But so JCAR is one of the committees that I'm on. I enjoy doing that. I'm an attorney. I like doing administrative law stuff. But that is something that, you know, that I have to do every month. So what I have, you know, I put in a request for JCAR to take a look at the school guidance that the Illinois State Board of Education put out on June 23rd. So next week I'll be going up to Springfield and, you know, trying to get some answers out of the liaisons from the Illinois State Board of Education, asking them, okay, you know, why did you feel the need to go into such detail? What is the statutory authority you have that, you know, that makes you think you can force school districts to do this? Because when the agencies issue the regulations and the code, you know, there is a process that they have to go through. They have to publish an initial version. They have to give people time to comment. And then they have to get approval from JCAR for the final version. If they don't do that, then what they have put out is just guidance. It is a suggestion. It is a best practice. It doesn't have the force of law behind it. So JCAR is a really important committee. It was something that when I first got elected, I immediately asked to be assigned to it. I got myself assigned to it back in 2018, and it's been something where honestly, you know, to be frank, that's probably where I exert the most influence, because on all the other committees, the breakdown is usually like 9 Senate Democrats and only like 3 or 4 Senate Republicans. So the Democrats can pass legislation through all these other committees without any Republican votes at all.
Right, right. So so we understand it a little bit better.
It's kind of the other half of government, and it's important to note, though, it is a process committee. It's not a policy committee. So JCAR took a look at the gun dealer licensing regulations, and what the lens that I was looking through was not whether or not I think that's a good idea, because it's, you know, that bill was a terrible bill that I voted against 7 times. But when the regulations got in front of me at JCAR, you know, my evaluation was, does this comply with the terms of the statute? Not whether or not I think it's a good idea anymore. That ship it's had sailed, unfortunately.
So, all right. So at this point, we're kind of waiting for schools to reopen, see how that goes. You said it would be after the election, the next session?
The next time we're scheduled to go in is the fall veto session, which is the second part of November. But I'm going to, you know, I continue doing JCAR stuff every month. And there is stuff going on, and I think you're going to see political activities slowly start to ramp up as well.
Okay. All right, Senator, thanks for stopping by and talking.
Sure thing, Jeff. Always enjoy speaking with you. Everybody, hope everybody, you know, has a great weekend.
All right. We will talk to you next month. Have a great day. This is The People Speak. We will talk to you again on Monday.